so great this morning and also this evening to have Brother and Sister Smith here, the outgoing missionaries to the country of Spain. And we sent out a one call yesterday. Normally, every year or every other year, we have Brother Jack Lehman from headquarters come and do a faith promise service, which is a missions raise funds for our world missions. And in conversation with Brother Howard, he also helps Brother Lehman out in this area. So we're going to have a faith promise world missions pledge service this morning and then also this evening. And it's just so great to have Brother and Sister Smith here. They're going to talk a little bit about their country of Spain, and then he's going to speak to us this morning. So let's welcome Brother Howard Smith. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Why don't we stand and give that to the Lord today? God bless you. You may be seated. Thoroughly is our privilege to be in Madison today. Amen. To be with your pastor and wife and your bishop and wife. Amen. The bishop so impressed us 6 years ago at because of the crimes. Amen. Because of the crime, because of the times. Just so blessed my spirit and heart, and I sat there and wept like a baby the entire service. And it's just a great honor to be in this service today with you all. And my wife will be testifying in the evening service. But tell you just a little bit about Spain. We're more than an outgoing missionary. Amen. I guess we're outgoing. We were outgoing 29 years ago when we were appointed to the nation of Bolivia. My wife's a missionary's daughter. She was not raised on the mission field, but her mom and dad were the pioneering missionaries to the nation of Bolivia more than 29 years ago. In 1974, they were appointed. And we served, came along a few years later, spent 12 years in the nation of Bolivia, and then I felt led, God spoke to me actually the second year that we arrived in Spain, in Bolivia, but I didn't share it with my family for 9.5 years. I kept it hidden in my heart, like Mary hid the word of the Lord in her heart. And when we deputized in 1989, or 98 rather, we asked for an appointment, transfer a field. When we arrived in Spain, there was only three churches, and probably less than the size of your Sunday school classes today. There were three churches with two pastors and less than 100 saints. Now, the Bible says, some men water, some men plant, but it's God that gives the increase. And we've had for years men that have returned back to the United States disappointed, felt like their ministry had been in vain, actually felt like failures probably. But I thank God that when we went to Spain, we hooked up with a good team. The Lord brought other missionaries on site. We connected with a body of people that desired to have revival. Today we don't have three churches. Amen. Out there on the welcome center or on our display table, we have Bible markers. You're welcome to come by, and we want you to take a Bible marker to remember us in prayer. But today I'm happy to report that we have 48 churches. Amen. We've seen 6,000 people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name in the last 17 years. We have three Bible schools, two in Madrid, one in our church in Barcelona. And you say, are you Are we satisfied? There is no way that we are satisfied. When 9/11 happened here in the United States, the borders to this country were closed, and everybody from Cuba to the tip of South America that spoke Spanish started flocking to the nation of Spain. Overnight, we grew from 39 million people to 48 million people overnight. 48 churches, we're excited, but we've now trying to reach a country of 48, almost 49 million people. Amen. So this last December during our national conference, we projected, and we are planning by the year 2020 that we're going to double in number in churches. We're going to double in number in souls. Is it going to happen? The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. And we're going to see it happen. Are we going to be happy? Yes. Are we going to be satisfied? No way. Amen. Amen. Because we're going to work until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And he is coming very, very soon. But we're excited about what is happening in the nation of Spain. Last Sunday, missionary Monty Showalter was with us there in the home church, and we had six to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost last Sunday. Hardly ever a service goes by midweek, even during the daytime when our pastor, family pastor, is on staff. We have baptisms going almost every day. Amen. Every service. Is there any visitors here this morning? I'm just going to play like I'm the pastor. Any visitors here this morning for the first time? Where you at? Raise your hand. Somebody raise your hand. No visitors for the first time? Then I'm your pastor. The question is, why not? Why not? You see, we don't have a service in Barcelona without visitors. Our first 3 months in the location that we're in, that we started went into 15 years ago, we had 265 first-time visitors walking off the street. Amen. And God began to grow. We grew from 24. We started the church in our home with just my wife, our youngest daughter, and myself. If we have visitors, let's give them a hand. I know somebody's here. Somebody was pointing somebody out, and they didn't want to be recognized. Amen. How many's going to bring a visitor tonight? Amen. How many's going to at least invite somebody? How many's invited somebody this week? Yeah, you have. Amen. Amen. And we're so thankful for that. But we hardly ever have a service without someone being baptized and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that's the exciting part. I know this is a great revival church. Bishop Grant preached a sold out, shared his burden, amen, what God is doing here in Madison, and we're just so excited to be a part of what is happening and going. But we need prayer. Amen. Missionaries need the church, and the church needs the missionaries. I'm on YouTube. Sitting there with his camera going. Amen. Because you see, the Great Commission is not to Howard and Vonda Smith. The Great Commission is to the whole church. Amen. I want you to be saved. You want to be saved. God wants all of us to be saved. And I can't be saved until I fulfill the will of God in my life. Amen. You can't be saved until you fulfill the will of God in your life. The Bible says, go ye into all the... Everybody say ye. Everybody go like this. Ye. Go ye into all the world. Amen. Preaching the gospel. And so that's what we're here today about. And I know that you know what this is. We might be hanging on your wall. I checked it. You're not our partner. Amen. Does anybody know what this is? It's called a partner mission form, right? Today, I'm relieving all pressures off you. This is not a PIM partner and mission slip. Everybody go, whew. This is a please include me slip. PIM, please include me. Amen. It is a privilege to be here. We're excited about what God's going to do in Calvary, for Calvary. Amen. Today in all three services. God bless you.
If we could have our ushers come, what we like to do is we like to take an offering up, just a special offering for our missionaries when they come through. And then our ushers also have a faith promise card that they're going to be passing out to you. And just one of these per family, if that's all right. We have a limited number of these. So we're going to go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for our missionaries, Brother and Sister Smith, that are with us here today as they share their burden about the country of Spain, but not just the country of Spain, Lord, but for our whole entire world and world missions. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon this service, that you would bless each and every person. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So for ushers, can go ahead and pass that out, as well as pass out a card. And we'd like for every family to get one of these cards. Don't fill it out yet. Don't fill it out yet. Brother Smith's going to instruct everyone on how we're going to do this. We're going to take up the offering this morning, and then you'll be able to turn those pledge cards in at the conclusion of the service. And then also this evening, we'll be doing this again. We do have a number of folks that are in our Sunday school classrooms, and because of our service schedules and such, we kind of are a little bit scattered on Sundays, but we have a different crowd on Sunday evening. So if we can just go ahead and get one of those to every individual. How many of you support foreign missions or world missions in your work that into your budget? I am so thankful. It was such an honor this past couple weeks ago when we were in Indianapolis and we had our foreign missions service there. And I spoke a little bit about this on Wednesday night. We had, I believe there was 21, if I'm not mistaken, foreign mission families that were on the platform. And we raised excess of $1 million, $2 million. They raised over $2 million, and all of those families that were there were able to take and cut their deputation. When we talk about deputizing or deputation, what that is Brother Tribulation, yes. Brother and Sister Smith, just imagine if every 2 years your pastor had to leave and travel for 2 years and raise funds in order to support himself at the local church. Okay? That's what our missionaries have to do. They go on the field for, I believe, 2 years and then 4 years. Okay, 4 years. They're on the field for 4 years and then they leave and then they come back to the States and they travel for 2 years and they raise funds, partners in missions, which is what we'll be taking the Smiths on, I'm sure, by the end of this today. But you raise money and they have to travel, and then of course they have to have folks come in and kind of fill in for them while they're traveling. So we want to be able to get our missionaries back on the field as soon as possible so that the work of God can continue. At this time, we'll go ahead and have Brother Smith come, and we'll enter into the faith promise portion. God bless you, brother.
Thank you again, Pastor. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. If you have an extra PIM, or not a PIM, a faith promise commitment card, if one of the ushers could bring me one, I need to have one up here. How many wants to receive a blessing from God? How many are blessed? We all are blessed. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Mark, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And this is what we're doing today. Amen. I know that pastors, churches, saints, visitors, at times when a minister approaches the subject of money, the thought comes into our mind, oh, there he is again, dipping into our pocketbook. Can he preach anything else? Amen. We're going to talk about money today. Everybody say amen. Because I believe 100%, if the Lord does not control and own your pocketbook, he doesn't control you. He's Lord of all, or he's Lord of nothing. He's Lord of all, or he's Lord of nothing. Amen. That's not about right. That is right. Amen. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. The Lord is looking for you and I, for Madison, Madison, Wisconsin, Calvary Gospel Community Church. It's Community Church, right? Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. For Calvary Gospel Church to feed 7 billion people. Responsibility lies heavy upon our shoulders to reach a world that is lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. 7 billion people. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworths of bread and give them to eat? He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Back up that scripture just a minute, 38. Amen. That's what he's looking for us, to go and see what we can do. Amen. How many's ever read it, heard it? Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. Go and see. And they knew, when they knew, they had 5 and 2 fish. 39. He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties, because God's not an author of confusion. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to sit before them, and the 2 fish divided he among them. Among them all. Let's all read this verse together. And they did all eat and were filled. Once again, they did all eat and were filled. Verse 43. And they took up the 12 baskets full. They took up the 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. 44. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Father, we know that you're going to bless your word, because your word is forever settled in heaven. It is blessed. Now bless your servant, the ears to hear, hearts to receive, and for your will to be done in our midst, and we'll give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The reason I asked your pastor, I've got to be honest this morning, 3 weeks ago Sunday, I made a connection with the church on Sunday morning. I made a connection with the church on Sunday night, and made a connection with the pastor Sunday morning and on Sunday night. I mean, we just connected. Amen. And I walked away without a PIM, a partner in mission, or a please include me form. Amen. And I scolded myself. I chided myself. I worried about it. What did I do wrong? What did I miss? What happened? And then somewhere about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was thinking about it, and the thought came to me, well, why don't you just go back to what you love doing? I love preaching faith promise. I'd rather preach faith promise than eat. I like to eat. How many enjoys eating? Amen. I'd rather preach faith promise than eat. Because I know preaching faith promise blesses not only the congregation and the church, but is going to bless the kingdom of God worldwide. Amen. Amen. And so I committed in my heart and my soul that I'm not going to talk to a pastor when I call them on the phone until I ask, do they need a faith promise service or a recommitment service? And happily, your pastor responded with a yes. I'm excited about preaching here this morning. Amen. Amen. Because you see, there's nothing better a Jew likes to talk about than money. Amen. How many needs a blessing? How many's poor this morning? If you're so poor that you can't give to the kingdom of God, go out to the Salvation Army, look for a pair of penny loafers, put you a penny or a nickel or a dime in that penny loafer, and then you'll have money. The rest, you can't ever say you're broke. Amen. Where there's a will, there's a way. Now the Bible says, just hurriedly, amen, that he came out and he was moved with compassion. If we're not moved with compassion this morning, everything that we're fixing to do is in vain. If we're not moved with compassion, if you can't be moved knowing that a coworker is going to die and go to hell because you've not reached them yet, you've not witnessed to them, you've not touched their life, if your neighbor across the street has not been invited to this church, if you haven't had block parties and passed out tracts, amen, and witnessed everybody around you. How many's ever gone to Walmart and the Lord has prompted you to witness to somebody? And we don't do it. That's another message. But just to share with you, the Lord's never going to prompt you to witness to somebody until he has already talked to them and prepared their heart to receive your words. He's not prompting you to get out there and make a fool of yourself. He's wanting to reach that lost and hungry soul. Amen. And so he was moved with compassion. And that's the first thing that we must be done, must happen to us. We've got to be moved with compassion. We cannot have an attitude like the disciples. The disciples looked, I mean, population of Madison is what? 250,000? If we all got out on the street, right in the center of town, and let's say within all three services, we got 300, 500 people, whatever this church has, you ought to be thankful you got a little elbow room. Okay? We found a location 15 years ago. I bought 170 chairs. We have to have three services on Sunday morning because we've grown to a church of over 500 people. We have multiple services on Sunday morning because they all can't fit in at one time. Amen. Amen. But if we all took all three congregations of this church, or the multiple congregations that this church has, we're sitting down in the center of town and we're surrounded by 250,000 people, we would look at a daunting task to reach them, much less to reach this state. We've started seven churches out of our church in Barcelona. It's a daunting task to reach 48 million people. Amen. But we can't have an attitude like the disciples. The disciples look, hey, this job's too big. Let's send them away. Send them away. Let them go find some provision somewhere else. We have the bread of life. We have the bread of life. We have the only saving message in this book. Amen. And we've got to believe that. Amen. And we've got to be moved with what we believe. And so the Lord said, go see what we can do. And so that's what we're doing, okay? Amen. I want to just tell you, I've got multiple stories, but I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, went into the living room. So thankful that we're staying in a very comfortable place. It's not a motel room, and we're not all the things that comes with a motel, and thank God for good motels. But we're staying in a very, very comfortable home. Brother and Sister Brown have opened up their home like they have so many. I got up, went and sat in the living room down there in the basement at 4 o'clock this morning, and the Lord was speaking to my spirit. And I remember a time that it was our first deputation back in 1989, and we were in Louisiana camp meeting. And Wayne Huntley was the camp evangelist, went to Bible school with him. Matter of fact, Sister Huntley sang in my very first revival. She went to Orange, Texas with us, and the superintendent of Kansas, Mike Kahn, and myself held a revival, and Patsy Lantrup at that time was the singer, because Mike and I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, and he couldn't anyway. I love to sing. And he was there, they were there, and they presented on that afternoon service, they presented Calcutta and showed the slides and the hunger and the poverty and just the great need of the city of Calcutta with its millions and millions of people. And they were going to make Calcutta the 13th district for the state of Louisiana. And they were going to send somebody and support them and operate that city as it was part of the Louisiana district with its finances. And when Brother Tenney was up there promoting it and trying to raise the funds, I'm telling you, it was going over like a Jewish sandwich at a pork sandwich at a Jewish wedding. Nobody was in a given mood. Nobody was touched. And here, my middle and my youngest daughter, Andrea, was in the back guarding or watching the table, the booth. And the two younger girls, middle daughter and younger, Krista was 7, Tanya might have been 8 and a half, 9 years old. And they're just weeping, pouring their heart out at this service. And my God, that deputation, I refused Krista, our youngest daughter, to have any money when she knew I was going to preach Faith Promise. I made her leave the money, her money in the car, leave it in the motorhome we were traveling in, because she had opened up. She wanted to give every time I preached Faith Promise. She wanted to give every dime she had. Amen. And so they're weeping, they're crying, and they said, "Daddy," because you see, on off days I would help them. We bought chopsticks, and the girls painted chopsticks, drilled a hole, put a Hobby Lobby through a pin, and the word I'm looking for? Adornments, or making sticks, you know, chapstick for hairdos. And the girls, they were selling them left and right. And they had each, I let them keep their money. And I was a good father when one of them, if the girl that testified that night on a rotating basis, if we got a PIM, they got $5. They got $10. And then whoever we got a PIM, they each got $5. So one of them was always guaranteed $15. And they had $500 between them. And they're sitting there crying, and they said, "Daddy, can we give our $500? I said, "No." "You've never owned a bicycle. We're going to buy you a bicycle." How foolish was that? "We're going to buy them a bicycle. We're going to La Paz, Bolivia, which is the highest capital in all the world. It sits in a volcanic crater 2.5 miles high in the atmosphere. You're either going uphill or downhill." The only thing flat in that city was a concha or a soccer field. And so I relented, and I let the girls, they stood up and said, "Brother Tenney, we'll give our $500. And it broke the spirit. Something broke in that service, Brother Grant. And people started, I'll give, I'll support. And how God works, Brother Huntley was sitting in front of us, and he just turned around and said, "Don't worry, babies, I'm going to cover that $500 for you." He gave the $1,000. They kept their money. But in God's eyes, they gave it. Amen. Now, all of us want to receive a blessing from God. Amen?
You're never going to receive a blessing from God like this. God will give it in this end, but the first time it stays here, it stops. But if you extend this arm like this, there's just something magical that when it touches this hand, it flows through this pocket. And a portion of it stays. But you've got to be a conduit. You've got to flow.
And when it flows, you'll be blessed. I remember we were in a service 18 years ago. We were sitting for 6 months in Houston, Texas, waiting for our visa. It took 6 months to get a visa to get into Spain. And Mark Morgan was preaching a sacrificial service for Brother Kilgore, our pastor. Went to Bible school, left Michigan. Brother Kilgore is our pastor for 46 years. And he was preaching a sacrificial service because they were trying to raise funds to pay off the new auditorium. And Brother Morgan is a phenomenal preacher. But it was going over once again like a pork sandwich at a Jewish wedding. Even Brother Kilgore got up there and said, I'll either sell my house or finance my house and I'll give the first $100,000. Nobody responded. I had a check in my pocket, and I don't know why. I thought of this morning. I don't know why I carried that check for 2 weeks. But we had sold our van valued at $5,000. But I sold it to a pastor in Washington State for $2,000. Because, you see, he came to Bolivia with a Bolivian man that he won to the Lord. The Bolivian man came to church with Brother Luke that Sunday and brought 47 family members to my church. I baptized half of them, and over half of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Luke sent me a check for $100 every month. I took that $100 and I would fly to the second largest city in Bolivia and spend a night in a hostel and teach a Bible study and was able to raise up a church with a family member from that Bolivian man. Amen. And he did it for 10 years. So I sold him my van for $2,000. It was valued at $5,000, but I wanted to bless him because he blessed me. Amen. And we needed funds to pay for our shipping going to Spain. We had no money. I walked up and told Brother Kilgore, here's a check for a van that we sold. We were going to use for shipping, $2,000. And it broke the spirit in the church, and people started giving. We were in service until almost 4 o'clock that afternoon with the spirit of giving when it hit that church. People left the church and brought back items. The altars were full of things that they were donating and gifts and shotguns and titles to cars, titles to boats and ski things, whatever you call them, huh? Jet skis. Unbeknownst to me, Brother Basilio from the nation of Spain was in that church. He told Brother Kilgore, he said, Brother Kilgore, I'm starting a new adventure. I'm repairing damaged vehicles, wrecked vehicles. And if I sell this wrecked vehicle, I'm going to give the entire offering to this offering. He sold that vehicle that week for $10,000. He brought it Thursday night and gave it to Pastor Kilgore with one stipulation. He said, Brother Kilgore, I want half of this offering to go to Spain. Now, Brother Kilgore had a boy that was raised in the church with 9 brothers and family in that church in Spain. He was there a year before we got there, Brother Gary Soans. I was an adopted transplant. Brother Kilgore called me in the office the next morning after prayer. He said, Brother Howard, he said, I have a gift for you. And he said, and he told me the story about Basilio selling the vehicle and giving it to the church. And he said, with the stipulation, he said, I have a check for $5,000 to help you get to Spain. We went to Spain, got through all the preliminaries, all the paperwork, got the container with all our furniture, amen, sent to Spain. And the bill cost $5,000. $417. You can't outgive God. You can sit on your wallet today. You can sit on your blessing today. But honey, God's going to get your money. You're going to have a transmission dropped out of you. You're going to have teeth fall out of your head. You're going to have back surgery. You're going to have a dentist bill. God gets your money. I'd rather give it in the offering. Amen. Prior to our youngest daughter being struck down by a car at the age of 22 days, 3 days shy of her 23rd birthday, amen, I had a 27-year-old, a 25-year-old, and a 23-year-old. There's 20, 40, 60, 70, 75 years of combined age, and my wife and I had never spent a dime on a medical bill because we gave it to God. I said we chose to give it to God. Amen. We chose to give it to God. God blesses, amen, when you give. He protects when you give. You have a covering over your life and a shelter in your home and in your life because you choose to give to God. Amen. Now the Lord said, I've got to share with you this, okay? The last job that I had in Maryland, I made good money. In 1988, I sold basement waterproofing. I got blisters. Not because I jackhammered the floor open and put the corrugated piping in there and covered up with gravel and cemented it back and dropped a sump pump and pumped it out in the yard. No, I got a blister on these two fingers. I wrote $100,000 worth of contracts every month. I averaged 22% commission selling. Amen. Does anybody know what 22% of $100,000 is? Yell it out. $22,000 a month. My first paycheck, I brought my wife home a check of that was $25,000. I averaged $22,000 a month my last 8 months working. $119,000. Went into the office to tell George Gill I was quitting. My wife was with me. He said, "What are you going to do, Howard?" I said, "I'm going to be a missionary." I wasn't the top salesman. They had other men that were better salesmen. They took advantage of old women and old ladies and old senior citizens, and they would rape people with physically, financially. No, I had a heart. I commissioned only. I averaged $755 a month or per sale. Amen. I didn't try to be the highest writer. I just wrote and was fair. Amen. How much are you going to make? I said I'm going to make $800 a month. George Gill fell out of his chair laughing, slapping the floor. I was getting up $22,000 a month to make $800 a month 29 years ago. We've never been happier in all our life. I said we've never been happier in all our life. Never a doctor bill until my daughter got hit. When she was hit and was in the hospital for 55 days, wanted to amputate both her legs and amputate her arm, God did miracles, said she'd never stand for 6 months, never walk for a year. She walked, she stood on her feet, began to shuffle her feet, bend her knees, raise that arm that the doctor said she'd never use, walked across the auditorium, speaking in tongues, stood for 55 minutes, praising God, amen, on day 97. Hallelujah. God healed her. She's on deputation today in Ohio with her husband going to Luxembourg to open up a new work for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hospital bill of $697,000. We don't know how it got paid. We don't know it yet. We don't know what bill. Hallelujah. He slapped the floor laughing. But I remember we were the 17th pastor on site. In Maryland, the pastor the 18th pastor came a month later, and we were in his church. Today, that church, Maryland's exploded with 60, 70 churches. Thank God for that. But we were in a faith promise service. I wasn't preaching it, but we were there because we helped one another in home missions. And the Lord spoke to me and said, give $100. Now, where's that brother that has that small little dayminder? Are you here? It was in the office. Let me have that dayminder, brother. Got any money in it? I had a dayminder. It was like this, but a little bit bigger. A dayminder has, you take this out and change the dates, room for credit cards. Come see me after church. I'll give you a dollar to put in here. But I had a secret place, a cubbyhole. Now, I don't have my wallet. It's somewhere within the grounds. I left it in my car. I don't have it in my pocket when I'm preaching. I've got $100 in it. I'm never broke. So God spoke to me and said, give that $100. I opened up my wallet. I had $14. I don't have $100. I should have been struck dead right then. I was lying to God. He knew I was lying. I was lying in the house of God. I gave the $14. You got a $100 bill in you? Smart man. His wife don't know where it's at. I went to work Monday. You see, when I hired in, they only ran leads at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. I told Mr. Gill, that's not enough. I want more leads. So they ribbed up the call center. I ran a 10 o'clock appointment, a 12 o'clock appointment, a 2 o'clock appointment, a 6 o'clock appointment, and an 8 o'clock appointment. I ran 5 appointments every day. Monday through Friday, the first week, I made no sales. Second week, no sales. Third week, no sales. George called me in the office on that Friday. He said, Howard, what's going on? You've blown 75 leads out of this office. I said, don't worry about it, George. I know what happened. I know where it's at. I know what happened. I'll fix it. When we went to the church, the same church that Sunday night, and when I walked in, I didn't walk in like some old proud dude. I got $100 in this wallet. No. I walked in with an humble spirit. I could have walked under the pews and not hit my head. I gave that $100 that God asked me to give 3 weeks before. Ran my 10 o'clock appointment. The old couple, I showed them what the problem was. That the need a French drain. You need this. You need that. We went upstairs. I drew upside down. I had the ability to draw upside down. Show them the water table. Why water's coming in the house? And they said, "Well, we like what you're showing us, son, but." My heart dropped. No, God, not another rejection. But our daughter's moving back home. She wants to convert the garage into a beauty salon, and the garage leaks also. Can you fix the garage like you can fix our basement? I walked out of the house with one appointment and two contracts. Amen. Amen. You cannot give God. God never asks you to give more than what he's going to give you and provide for you to give. And so, very hurriedly, we might go 5 minutes over. I happen to be blessed to be in the very first Faith Promise service. Unlike you good folks, they only had Billy Cole, the Freemans, and the Tennies on that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for Faith Promise Service. First Faith Promise Service at Life Tabernacle in 1969. You folks are blessed. Give yourself a hand. You got Howard Smith. So Brother Tenney preached that morning, just like I'm preaching, filled out, he passed out the cards and said, now go home and don't fill it out. Well, how many of you are 19 years old? Raise your hand. Amen. You don't tell a 19-year-old punk what not to do. Excuse me. You see, I had just quit my job. I had just quit a very good job. I was a domestic engineer. Janitor at Pasadena School High School. I didn't have a job. But I said, well, I can at least scrounge up $10. So I filled out the card, went to sleep that afternoon. Went back that night. Brother Kenny preached again. He said, how many of y'all filled out the card this afternoon? Over half of Life Tabernacle raised their hand. Brother Kenny said, do this. And that's what we did. And he commenced to preach. Sitting on the front row, Charles Stevens, pastor in Austin, Texas, Howard Smith, Gerald Morris, pastors in Livingston. The Holy Ghost is moving. The Lord spoke to me and said, give $25. 1969, $25, when gas was only 17 cents a gallon. I said, Charles, God's talking to you. He said, what? I said, hey, Gerald, God's talking to you. He said, shut up, fool. So I obeyed God and I put $25 down. I went to a job interview the next day. I trained for 5 days selling dirt suckers. Anybody know what a dirt sucker was? Electrolux vacuum cleaners. My mother might have raised a dummy, but it wasn't me. It was my brother. I started knocking doors. I didn't go to the slums. I went where today the Galleria of Houston, Texas is. That was called River Oaks area. I started knocking doors. The first 10 days, Pastor, I sold 14 vacuum cleaners. All of them were cash sales. It was vacuum cleaner and the floor polisher. I made over $300 a sale. I won a scholarship. I sold more vacuum cleaners that summer than any other college student in all of Texas. I won a scholarship and paid my school bill the next year and had money every month coming in. You cannot give God. I said, you cannot outgive God. God's looking for us today. What do you have? And so they went and looked. They found five loaves and two fish. The Lord lifted it, prayed over it, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, set them down in 50s and in 100s. Hey, James, how you doing? Hey, Pete, how you doing? Going good. Still got some. What do you want, bread or fish? Bread or fish? Bread. What do you want, bread or fish? You want fish. What do you want, bread or fish? Bread. How about you? Bread. Okay. Come back. Hey, how's it going? Got it covered, man. What do you want, bread or fish? Fish. How about you, bread or fish? Bread. Bread or fish? Bread or fish? Bread or fish? Bread. How about you, bread or fish? Fish. I knew you was a fish eater. Bread or fish? Bread or fish?
Fish.
Fish. bread or fish? Hesitant there. Bread or fish? What? Say it real loud.
Both.
You eat your bread, but God's got fish in here too. He wants us. He doesn't want to just feed you bread, honey. He's got fish to go with that bread. Amen. Amen. The Bible said they all did eat. I'll go into that story tonight. 5,000 men, but really, Josephus says there were 14,000 men, women, and children. And so, the little boy that gave the bread and fish to Jesus, he goes home empty-handed. Walks in the house. Come here. You don't say nothing, okay? Not one word. Johnny, Dad's out in the field working. Brothers are working. I gave you money to go buy bread. With it.
I gave it to Jesus.
You did what?
I gave it to Jesus.
You go sit down over there. Your daddy will beat you half to death. When your dad gets home, he's gonna override you, boy. About that time, a knock come on the door. How many's ever answered the phone mad? How many's ever answered the door mad? Here was this mother, she was irate. What do you want? And she sees 12 burly men because her little son gave Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. Little is much. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. And God's wanting to find out today, what do we have to feed the lost? What do we have that's going to start new churches? What do we have that's going to reach around the world and send missionaries to a world that's lost and dying and going to a devil's hell? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Before you fill out the card, I'm going to ask your pastor to pray a prayer. I preached Faith Promise Wednesday night to a church on the other side of town. There was only 6 adults. The pastor was excited for me to preach Faith Promise. 6 adults. $240 came in commitment. That's $2,900 a year with 6 people. Hallelujah. The pastor, he was excited. He was excited. Hallelujah. He caught the vision of what giving outside the borders of the church represented. I'm going to ask Pastor Grant to pray before we ask you to answer the call of God this morning.
Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we have been preaching, we've been teaching that without faith, it is impossible to please you. Lord, we also understand that to each man, to each woman, and each child is given a measure of faith. I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would take that faith that we have, how little it is. And I pray, God, that you would take that and you would expound that faith 10, 100, 1,000-fold. Lord, I pray, God, as you move across this congregation, Lord, God, we understand, Lord, that it's important to have faith, Lord. Without faith, Lord, without works, our faith, Lord. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon each and every individual, each and every family, each and every mom, dad, and child. Lord, as we open up our hearts, we open up our minds, Lord, as we expand our faith, God, I pray that you would bless, God, that your hand would be upon those that expand their faith, God. Lord, we cannot outgive you. God, we cannot outgive you. And I pray, God, that you would touch this congregation here this morning. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just one word of instruction before you fill it out. And if you need a pen, we'll look around and get you a pen. Thank you. If you give and support Faith Promise or World Missions in this church, and for an example, let's say you give $10. And the Lord is wanting you to add $10 to your commitment. Then the number we want on the card is $20. What you give plus the new commitment that God's asking you to give with the combined total, just say $20. If it's $50 and the Lord's telling you to give a double it to 100, then just write $100 down. Not 50, because we don't know what your old commitment was. We want the new total combined commitment. And as the Lord speaks to you, you might want to share with your wife, your husband, family member that's with you. And as you fill out that card, I'm going to ask you to just come. Take and perforate it. It's perforated. Take and rip it in half. You keep half. And as you fill it out, we want you to come and lay your card on these altars. And then we just want you to stand around these altars, because we're going to pray. We're going to have a time of prayer and worship. We're going to add up, we'll add up the commitments and give you a total tonight. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have a question? Are you unsure of what I've asked you? Amen. You keep half the card. Don't bring the whole thing up. Rip it in half. It's perforated. And come and lay it at the altar as an offering to the Lord. And just gather in as families. And we're gonna pray. Amen. If you filled it out, go ahead. Go ahead, brother. Yours is filled out. Just be the first. Just lay it here in the altars and just stay in the altar. Linger. Linger at the altar in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, come. Lay it at the altar. It's a commitment between you and God. By faith, you're going to give. If God blesses you, if God gives it to you, you're going to give it to God. You're going to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're reaching the world this morning, church. We're reaching the world this morning. We're reaching the world this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Maybe you don't need to fill it out completely. Just your name. Just your name and dollar amount would be good. Your pastor knows where you live. If he doesn't know where you live, invite him over for a meal. Amen. He'll find out where you live.